Shall we pray? Thank you for your word, Lord, and we ask that as we turn to it now, we might hear your voice and know you better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think you need to be unusually insightful to notice that a common point of connection between our three Bible readings is the dead being brought back to life. Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones coming together bone by bone, flesh restored, then finally life itself. The raising of Lazarus after 4 days in the tomb, one of John's signs pointing to Jesus being the promised Messiah. And the Apostle Paul's reflection on the work of the Spirit, that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, by which he means in you through the work of the Spirit, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And because Megan's also going to speak to us this morning, I'm deliberately keeping my part short, but I want to make a few comments about this brief reading from Romans 8. First, however, a little background to give it some context. I've made the observation on a previous occasion that Paul, in this part of the letter to the Romans, draws a very stark contrast between two realms. In earlier chapters to this one, it's expressed as a contrast between the realm of Adam, into which we're born, our natural human condition, and the realm of Christ, which we belong to by faith. Here he switches terminology, describing these same two realms as the realm of the flesh and the realm of the spirit, with the key point being expressed just prior to our reading this morning that we as believers do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. That is, we've changed sides. As he would explain to the Colossian Christians, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We no longer belong to the realm of the flesh, but to the realm of Christ, the realm of the Spirit. The Apostle then tells us, and this is important for making sense of verse 6 where our reading begins, he tells us that this plays out in where our minds are set. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now, I realize only too well that as a believer, you might feel like your mind is not always set on what the Spirit desires. And if so, you're far from being alone. But believe the scriptures at this point. It's all about which of these realms you belong to. If you belong to Jesus, then you're in the realm of the Spirit. And when we get to the start of the Bible reading in verse 6, he spells out the trajectory, the inevitable endpoint of each of these. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Paul's grappling with an obvious problem, that believers still face death and do, in fact, die. How is that distinguishable from unbelievers? The answer is found in these realities that we cannot see with our eyes. That even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Seems to me highly likely that in making that assertion, Paul will be drawing on parts of the Old Testament scriptures that he knew well, parts such as Ezekiel 37, with the word for breath that's so prominent there being the same as the word for spirit, together with God's explicit promise that I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we looked at part of Romans 5 that the issue of righteousness dominates the early part of the letter to the Romans, with a clear declaration in chapter 3 that righteousness is not earned, but given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So when Paul says that the Spirit gives life because of righteousness, he means that the giving of life is the corollary of the giving of righteousness. The two go together. He wants us to be encouraged. And here's an important takeaway for us today. He wants us to be encouraged that he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in us. But you'll notice that the apostle speaks here not only about those who belong to Christ, those in the realm of the Spirit, but also about the rest of humanity. That is, those in the realm of the flesh. This is verses 7 and 8. And we need to be honest that what he says here is hard to hear. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. And those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. It's harsh, but the scriptures are clear that there are no alternatives. And to suggest that there are other ways to God apart from through Christ, as some do, is to ignore the scriptures at this point. It's especially appropriate that we'll be hearing today about the work of one of our mission agencies, because missionary work across the board has its beginnings in coming to grips with this reality, that those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And the desire which flows from that to see men and women throughout the world come to faith in Christ, for them to move out of the realm of the flesh and into the realm of the Spirit, belonging to Christ. ABM's own website expresses it as, in all our work, we want to see people everywhere experience the wholeness of life God offers in Jesus Christ. Now, I hope this morning that you will indeed be encouraged by the assurance that even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. Because of righteousness. Righteousness, as we were reminded, being given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. The gift of life is its corollary, given by the Spirit to all who belong to Christ. And when it comes to those who are as yet in the realm of the flesh, yet to come to faith in Christ, let's be earnest in prayer for them, both for those we know as well as for those we don't know personally, and also thanking God and praying for those who've gone out to other places, some of them to remote parts of the world, with the specific intention of sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ.